Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, how we need Your word, Your truth today. In the midst of a culture, as it says here, that has exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And so, Father, now we have this opportunity to hear from You through Your Holy Spirit. Teach us, impress upon us, Father, our own need. Bring us to conviction of sin, to a posture of prayer for our nation, for our church, for ourselves, for our families. We'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Randy Alcorn is a Christian writer and author. Some of you are familiar with him. In his book, Christians in the Wake of the Sexual Revolution, he writes this: the 20th century is not the first to see society riddled with immorality. The ancient Greeks elevated loose women, homosexual relations, and pedophilia. The Romans gradually surrendered the strong families and morals that once made them great, replacing them with laxity and weakness. The often made comparisons between the final years of Rome and modern-day America are striking. Self-indulgence, political corruption, adultery, homosexuality, sexual orgies, live sex acts in the theater, brutal sports in the arena, and a creeping family deterioration and moral laziness that led to self-destruction. He goes on, when the ruling group and the society as a whole relax their code of sexual morality, within three generations, there is usually a cultural decline, as was the case in the later stages of the Babylonian, the Persian, Macedonian, Mongol, Greek, and the Roman civilizations. We find that among civilized societies, those which have remained strict in their sexual codes for the longest period have reached the highest levels. He continues, historian Arnold Toynbee likewise concluded that a society's creative energy is tied to the control of sexual drives. Sexual self-control is linked directly to national strength and accomplishment. Lack of self-control is tied directly to national weakness and deterioration. Toynbee's research indicated that of history's 21 greatest civilizations, 19 perished from internal moral corruption, not external enemies. Further, he says, after 10 years of relentless research of more than 80 civilizations, J.D. Unwin concluded, quote, any society is free to choose either to display great energy or to enjoy sexual freedom. The evidence is that it cannot do both for more than one generation, unquote. Beloved, Romans 1 outlines for us in very graphic and clear words what is happening in America. It pictures for us what happens when a culture, when a society, when individuals within that society turn from the light that God has given of Himself. Creation, as it says in verses 18, 19, and 20, from the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. But what has man done from the beginning? Man turns from the light that God has given to himself in creation, turns away from it, turns away from the Bible, turns away from the truth of God, and goes away from the light into deeper darkness. And that's essentially what we have today. Natural man will worship something, and by and large, well, natural man will worship anything other than the true God. It's in Christ, as we're brought near through the new birth, that we become worshipers of Almighty God. But as the text tells us, natural man has exchanged the worship of God for the worship of man. He's exchanged the revelation of God, the truth of God, for the reasonings of mere men. And that leads to darkness, a darkened heart, as it says, to futile thinking and foolishness, moral foolishness. A graphic example of that would be the philosopher, the godless philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, who promoted the saying, God is dead. Friedrich Nietzsche died an insane, babbling person. Brings us to verse 24. Therefore, as men have walked away from the truth of God, therefore, God does something. Because people suppress the truth that is known about God, that there's a creator. And if there's a creator, then I'm created. And I'm a creature. And I have a moral obligation to the creator. And when you walk away from that and make yourself the God of your life, and you decide what you're going to do, thank you, God. No, thank you for what you say. Here's what God says He does. He gives you over. He gives over individuals. He gives cultures over to what? To more sin. To more depravity. To more meaninglessness. To more futility. To more foolishness. Three times it says God gave them over. See verse 24. God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. Turn from God, more immorality and more impurity. Verse 28, we'll see this in a future message. God gave them over to what? Homosexual passions. Unnatural sexual sin. That which is against nature. And in verse 28, He gives over cultures and people to a depraved mindset, a depraved way of thinking, where people can't even think straight or come to reasonably right conclusions about things. It says God gave them over. The word means to hand over someone to something, to deliver someone over to the custody of someone. When unbelievers turn from the truth of God, God responds by giving them over to more sin, to deeper darkness. He allows them to pursue the pleasures, the sins they crave, that bring misery and grief to themselves and to those around them. And remember, this is an expression of the wrath of God. Verse 18, for the wrath of God, present tense, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God will allow someone to go as far as they want to go, deeper into misery, but He is always there, waiting to receive the repentant sinner. And God is there with grace. The prodigal son, Luke 15, who went off into the pig pen and became smeared with the excrement of the pigs and eating the husks that the hogs were eating. And it says he came to his senses. He had rejected his father, his father's love, said, Father, give me the inheritance, went off, and he came to the end of himself. It says he came to his senses, and he said, I will go to my father. And his father saw him coming a long way off. It's a picture of God. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against God. I've sinned in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. He came to the end of himself. See, that's the hope. So we pray for America, but we pray for ourselves. We pray for ourselves as the church because we're called to be the light of the world. But the church has a lot to repent of. You and I do as well. So in verses 24 to 32, you have the picture of the Gentile world here in general. Nations, cultures, unbelievers sinking into deeper depravity, debauchery, perversion, and immorality. And the Apostle Paul here zeroes in verses 24 and following on sexual immorality. Why is that? Because spiritual darkness, sexual immorality, moral perversity are inseparable. When man turns from the light that God has given, turns to his own devices, inevitably it leads to sexual sin, sexual debauchery, a culture, a nation, a society, the individuals in it becoming more and more enmeshed in sexual sin, ultimately then even homosexuality and a depraved mind. When a person or society moves away from God and His wisdom, there is disorder and every evil thing, James 3:16. As I said, we're going to look this morning at just two verses, verses 24 and 25. Sexual immorality, heterosexual immorality. Because then, when the gate is opened on that, and the cultural traditional beliefs and boundaries are just jettisoned, the next step is not only practicing homosexuality, but praising it and celebrating it, as we'll see in a coming study. But notice four things this morning that characterize a culture and an unbeliever, a culture or unbelievers in the culture that has moved away from God's truth to human reasoning. Four things that characterize a culture or an unbeliever who's turned from God's truth. Number one, love is replaced by lust. Love is replaced by lust. Notice verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. The word lust can be used, well, it simply means a strong desire. It can be used for something good. Almost always it's used in Scripture of something that's forbidden. A desire for something that's sinful. It's lust. It's for something forbidden, therefore it's sin. Jude 18 says, in the last time there shall be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. Last days will be marked by that. Ungodly men following after their own ungodly lusts. Notice Paul writes here in verse 24, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts. The issue is always the heart. Sin and immorality springs from the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 27 and 28, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Lust is always concerned with self. Love always asks, what can I get? Love asks, what can I give? Love says, lust says, if you love me, you'll let me. No, that's not love. That's lust. That's exploitation. That's sin. Love says, what can I give? What can I do to meet the needs? What is best for you? How can I protect you? How can I honor you? How can I respect you? But a person, a culture that turns from God and His truth becomes more and more consumed with selfish lusts. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see something. It's really a picture of our day, again. In 2 Peter 2 verse 1, Peter is writing about false teachers who will appear in the church even in Christendom. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, just as there were false prophets previous days among the Jewish people, there will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them. Notice verse 2. Many will follow their sensuality. Here's three things about a false teacher. Many will follow their sensuality. They're given over to sexual immorality and sensuality. Number two, because of them, the way of truth is maligned or spoken against. And number three, they're characterized by greed. When you see someone who professes to be a teacher of the Word of God, And there's a sensuality and immorality, and often that's what comes to light in a lot of these ministries and things today, causing the word of truth to be spoken about and maligned. And there's a greed associated with it as well. Well, look at verse 10. And especially, these are those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires. There's the word again. Desire, lusts. Verse 14, what a graphic picture. They have eyes full of adultery and that can never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, accursed children. Look at verse 18 and 19. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by lust, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. Verse 19, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. Promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. I'm a product of the 60s. I became a teenager in the 60s. The 60s were a time of social upheaval in America. The pill came on the scene. And now people could engage in sexual promiscuity without fear of pregnancy and so on, without it becoming public. Free love, free sex, freedom, throw off the old traditions that are just outdated, and the church and Christians just get rid of it. Free love, freedom was the mantra. Free? What a cost. What a cost. In its wake, men and women feeling exploited and used for their bodies, families, homes destroyed, divorce, tens of millions of abortions. But man, we're free. No, that's bondage. That's bondage. I'll say more about this in a coming message. But there was an op-ed piece in Friday's Sioux City Journal. And this writer, he's liberal. But the title of it was, "You Don't Go to the Bible to Hide." And he's writing about an election referendum that's coming up Tuesday in North Carolina, where they're actually going to vote to declare that in North Carolina, legal marriage will be restricted to one man and one woman. How novel. Right? But that's the world we live in. And this man is taking Christians and those who stand on the Bible and say, and he's basically mocking and ridiculing and say, "You don't believe in freedom for people?" See, and we've already seen what the 60s produced in the sexual revolution and what freedom has brought. Lives, homes, marriages. We'll mention some more things here in a minute. And now he's saying, you've got to give, just like we freed the slaves and emancipated the slaves and give women the right to vote and allowed them their freedoms, you've got to allow homosexual marriage. Why are you denying freedom? And we haven't seen anything yet of what's coming, unless God intervenes. Love is replaced by lust. Lust of their hearts to impurity. Love today, so much that's called love, the love of the 60s and the love of sexual freedom, is not really love at all. It's not. It's the outworking of lust. Sexual sin. Sin, sex before marriage, sex outside marriage, is a violation of love. To say that you love someone and then engage in sexual immorality, anything outside marriage, is a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Praise God for the new birth. Praise God For example, 2 Peter 1:4, that through the new birth we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God for grace. Titus 2 verse 12 that says, by grace we have power to deny worldly lusts. By grace, by the power of God. So, a culture, an unbeliever who is moving away from God is one where love is being replaced by lust. Secondly, purity is replaced by impurity. Purity is replaced by impurity. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity. The word impurity there, in its literal sense, referred to refuse. It referred to garbage. It referred actually to the contents of a grave, decaying matter in a grave that would defile someone ceremonially, religiously, if they came in contact with it. If you were a Jew, in its figurative sense, the word impurity refers to moral uncleanness, especially sexual immorality that defiles. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 5. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 3. Paul writes, do not let immorality or any, here's the word, impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. The NIV renders it there, not even a hint of sexual immorality or impurity. Verse 4, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. See, impurity here is, it's a broad concept. It includes not only what I do, but how I think, how I speak, where I go, how I dress, what I entertain myself with, what I read, what I look at, what I listen to. Not even a hint, the Bible says, among God's people. Is there be any hint even of impurity, uncleanness, immorality? Well, in Romans 1, it says, God gives over unbelievers in the lusts of their hearts to impurity. To impurity. That their bodies might be dishonored among them. Notice that? Last time, if you were here, we said how man in his enlightenment, apart from God and his human reasoning, and as he pursues humanistic thinking and exalting man, you know what happens when God is taken out of the picture and you exalt man? The result is man becomes more debased. Man becomes more depraved. Man becomes more debauched. Man becomes more degraded. Paul says here, God gave them over in the lusts of their bodies to impurity, in their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Look at cultures, the cultures of past history that worship sex. And America worships sex. And you look at the Canaanite culture with Baal worship. Degraded, debauched. Involving even sacrificing children on the altar. You think there's not a tie between our abortion culture of death and sexual immorality? Study history. Look at the Greeks. Look at the Romans. As it became more degraded, more debased, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. Well, think with me. How are bodies dishonored in sexual immorality? Number one, I'll just mention a few things. Number one, people are treated as objects to be used, not people to be loved and respected. In sexual sin, sexual impurity, bodies are dishonored because people are treated as objects. Pornography. It ought to cause us to weep. The exploding industry of pornography. People's daughters, sisters, exploited and used. A few years ago at the Shepherd's Conference, Bill Shannon gave a message on purity and jotted some things down. He said, on average, 900 new pornographic sites accepting credit card purchases are added to the internet each week. 50,000 a year almost. New pornographic sites added. Pornography is now responsible for the largest volume of sales on the internet. It's not eBay, Amazon.com, or any of those. It's pornography. Shannon talked about how there in Southern California, Hollywood releases 400 new films each year. I didn't realize it was that many. But the pornography industry, based in large part in Southern California, releases 800 movies per month. Hollywood releases 400 new films each year. The pornography industry is releasing about 10,000 per year. 60 Minutes reported that the largest hotel chains in the U.S., including Hilton, Hyatt, Sheraton, and Holiday Inn, make most of their in-room profit from what do you suppose? The sale of pay-per-view porn, X-rated porn, with half of all guests purchasing erotic videos. So every other room down the hallway, there's purchasing porn. God says, you like your freedom so much? You like your thinking so much? And it says God gives over people, cultures, in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. And now we have this thing. You know, if someone had said to my parents 20, 25 years ago, or said to me, Fred, you know, in a few years, every teenager in America, every young person is going to be able to carry a little device with a little TV screen on it by which at a click of a button they can have access to pornography and they can send pictures back and forth among themselves. We would have said, you're crazy. But see, and kids can't handle that. Randy Alcorn, this was in 2010. Studies now show that 22% of teen girls and 18% of teen boys have shared nude or semi-nude pictures of themselves attached to a text message or by posting them online. 33% of young adults aged 20 to 26 have done that. 1 in 3. Police officer said that hardly a week goes by when he doesn't get a call from a distraught parent who has discovered that nude pictures of their daughter are being sent all over the school and across the country because she posed for her boyfriend or took the picture herself, and those images cannot be recalled, and we ought to weep. And some of you parents say, well, but, you know, I can't be nosy, right? I mean, parents, yes, be nosy. It's your job to know what's going on. What, do I have the right to interfere? Yes! Yes! It ought to make us weep. People are treated as objects to be used, not people to be loved and respected. Bodies are dishonored. Pornography is one way. And then there's sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. Bodies are dishonored as sex outside marriage is entered into, and the disease and the guilt and the stuff lingers. Several years ago, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, reported that 65 million people in the United States have an incurable STD. I said, that cannot be. At the time, it was 1 in 4 Americans, CDC estimates, have an incurable STD. 15 million new infections per year, one half of which are lifelong infections. You know, I think Randy Alcorn is right. And by the way, parents, I commend to you his website. There's articles in there to help you talk to your kids. Randy Alcorn, in his book, The Purity Principle, he says, purity is not only right, it's smart. Impurity is stupid. Now, when we were growing up, we taught our kids, you don't use the word stupid. You don't call anything stupid. But I'm using it today. Because impurity, to not even say that how it dishonors God, it is absolutely foolish. Purity honors God. Impurity dishonors God and one's body. Thirdly, bodies are dishonored through the sexual abuse of women and children. Thursday night at the National Day of Prayer, I wish more of you would have been there. Chuck Hurley spoke with tears, literal tears, sitting in a meeting with former Attorney General John Ashcroft and hearing how there are 300, today, estimated 300,000 slaves in America. People said, slaves in America, slavery in America. And he was talking about human trafficking, young girls who are kidnapped or lured in various ways into the sex trafficking industry. And then they can't get out. And when their bodies are used up and diseased and they're wasted, many of them taken out, he said, into the desert somewhere in the Southwest and a bullet put to them. And he was weeping when we said it, and we ought to weep. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity that their bodies might be dishonored among them. The kidnapping, the sexual abuse, the murder of children, of precious children. See, Satan is not only a liar, he's a murderer. The abortion culture, the culture of death, abortion has devalued life within the womb, and it's just spread now. Life is devalued outside the womb. Fourth way that bodies are dishonored is through homosexuality, which is against nature. We're going to study that in the coming message, Lord willing. Fifthly, immodest dress. Bodies are dishonored through immodest dress as the culture moves from God's truth to human reasoning. Clothing becomes more sensual, more revealing. Listen to me, beloved. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell, God clothed. He clothed his children. He clothed them. See, the purpose of clothing is to conceal nakedness, not to reveal nakedness. One of the marks of a culture given over by God is that bodies are dishonored. Clothing becomes more sensual. Listen, clothing is an expression of character. Your clothing communicates something about you. Proverbs 7:10, it says a young man, there was a woman coming towards him, and it says she was dressed as a harlot. You could tell she was a harlot by the way she was dressed. It was sensual dress. It was revealing dress. We're called to glorify God in our bodies, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Our bodies belong to Him. To Him. Glorify God in your body. He is the Creator and Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul's giving instructions for the church, the first thing he says the men are to do is to lift up holy hands. It's the men that are to lead in prayer. First thing he mentions for the women is they're to dress discreetly and modestly, especially in the assembly, but at all times. Nancy DeMoss writes along this line on modesty. I commend her to you. She says, there are women who have a heart for God. I know they have a heart for God, but they're naive or they seem to be oblivious to the message they send with their body and with their clothing. Ladies, by all means, dress attractively, biblically speaking, but not sexually attractive and seductive. A woman should reserve her sensuality for one person, her husband. So ladies, talk to one another. Talk to one another. Encourage one another. Dads, talk to your daughters. Talk to your wives about how men think. You say, well, that's a man's problem. It's both. Men have a problem with their minds and they're attracted by sight. But women, sisters in Christ, equal responsibility to purity and modesty. As culture moves away from God, love is replaced by lust. Purity is replaced by impurity. Truth is replaced by the lie, verse 25. I wish I had more time, but we don't. We've got a little bit of time, okay? Verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. It's really the lie. And the lie is the truth of God, that God exists, that He is, that we're accountable to Him. But the lie of Satan, the father of the lie, is that you don't have to know, you don't have to follow God. You don't have to take Him at His word. You're better off trusting your own reasonings, the philosophies of men. God is just a cosmic killjoy. As Josh McDowell said, He is not a cosmic killjoy. But the world says, oh, He is. We need our fun. We need our freedom. It's the lie. It's the lie. Satan's lies extend into every area of life, including morality and sexual purity. We read Ephesians 5:3, there's not to be even a hint of sexual immorality among the people of God. And so Satan, the lie would be, oh, but hey, it was just a scene in a movie. It was just actors. Not even a hint. God says, not even a hint of immorality or impurity. Satan comes along with a lie through the voice of culture. And he says, but we love each other, so it's okay. That's a lie if you're not married. We're going to be married, so it's okay. That's a lie outside of marriage. But living together will help us prepare. It'll help us get to know each other. It'll help us know if we're compatible. It's a lie. Do you know that outside of Jesus Christ, no two people are compatible, right? It's in Christ that we learn to love each other. By the way, cohabitation, as you know, is epidemic, but studies, even secular ones, show just the negative effects. If you want more information, talk to me. More depression, more conflict, more dissatisfaction, more likelihood of divorce after cohabitation, assuming they marry. On the other hand, many studies have shown that for individuals without sexual experience, without sexual baggage before marriage and faithfulness within marriage, they experience the blessing of greater satisfaction and fulfillment of intimacy than those who were sexually active before marriage. Sex is one of God's beautiful gifts, but it's been perverted. It's been perverted in our young people, in our culture. Middle-aged, older, are believing the lie. The lie. I can do as I wish with my body. No, that's a lie. Well, you can. But God says He will give you over to impurity, to dishonor, to misery. God loves us. He wants to provide for us and protect us. Purity is always smart. Impurity is always stupid. Never be ashamed, young people. Never be ashamed of the word virgin. Parents, talk to your kids. Finally, worship of the Creator is replaced with worship of the creature. We've talked about this before, but notice God alone is worthy of our worship. He is blessed forever. Verse 25, amen. To know Him, to honor Him, to believe His truth is the source of all blessing. Let me say, praise God for people committed to truth. Young people, listen to me. You in high school, you in college, God bless you for the stands you're taking for purity. God bless you. And church, we need to pray for our kids, pray for our youth, pray for our young families to encourage these kids that God's way is best. God's way is honorable. God's way is the path of blessing. Now, I know I speak to a room full of people who in some way, in the past or presently, have blown it in this area. Who among us is innocent? So number one, do you know Him? Do you know Christ as Savior, the one who said, you shall call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins? He has mercy, he has grace, he has forgiveness. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners. Hallelujah. Praise God for grace, for the blood of Christ that washes us clean from sin. Do you know him today? Do you know this Savior? Oh, come to him if you don't know him. Come to him. Seek us out. Christ died for your sin and will forgive you and give you life if you will come to him. But secondly, some here today need to take some step of action. Maybe it's pulling the plug on cable TV. Maybe it's getting rid of that stash of DVDs or that stash of magazines or that stash of music that's immoral. It's the viewing habits that have to change. It's the internet maybe that needs to be monitored. Whatever. Seek help. We have people in the church, pastors and those who've made themselves available to be accountability partners to walk with you to the steps of victory and healing. And thirdly, as a believer here this morning, you've stumbled and failed. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. Love that, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me close with Psalm 51. You've been so patient. Psalm 51, here's David's prayer after his sin of adultery and all the tragedy of that. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. It's hard to expunge the memory of that. Against thee and thee only I've sinned. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted to thee. David says, God, you still have a plan for me. You still have a purpose for me. You still want to use me. Restore to me the joy. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Give me grace that I might walk in your truth. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted to thee. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Father, O God, we who swim in this culture inundated with filth, bombarded relentlessly. How shall a young man keep his way pure, keep his heart pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Father, will you give us a renewed commitment to purity, to lay aside every sin and the weight which so easily besets us, to take radical action as Jesus taught, to turn from the sin in repentance, sorrow for sin, and commitment to turn from it, forsake it. Help us to be encouraging of one another. Father, we pray for those who are feeling overwhelmed right now with guilt of some kind. God, might that drive them to you, Father, to the place of forgiveness, to the cross, the place of mercy. So, Father, do your work. And, Father, purify your church that sinners would come to know the grace of God through us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.